You've paid for us. You've paved the way for us to be with you, Father. You want to be with your children, God. We thank you for that. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and the fact that you invite us into this beautiful mystery. We pray that your will be done in this service. We pray that we would learn more of you and you would speak through Pastor Jason as you always do, God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Man, you may be seated. If you work in the field of education, you may have heard a TED Talk by the title, Do Schools Kill Creativity? And in the TED Talk, the presenter shares the story of Jillian Lanné, who as a student, an elementary-aged student in the 1930s, was constantly having trouble and constantly on the go and moving and fidgeting and having trouble with learning and in school, and teachers and administrators were so frustrated with her, they asked her parents to get her diagnosed and talk to a doctor. They thought she might have a learning disability. She was having so much trouble in school. And so mom made an appointment with the doctor, and the first 20 minutes of the appointment, mom shared all the struggles and difficulties that they were having at home and at school with the child, and how she was having such a hard time. And after 20 minutes of talking, the doctor stopped the mom and asked her if he could talk with her in private, and the mom complied. So they got up, went to walk out the room, and the doctor turned down the radio. Mom and the doctor stepped outside, closed the door, looked in through the glass. The doctor just watched the little girl for a while. And of course, the little girl got up out of the seat. She's moving around and swaying and moving. And the doctor looked at the girl, looked at the mom, and said, she doesn't have a learning disorder. She's a dancer. Have you ever thought about putting her in dance classes? And the mom hadn't. Seemed like a possible idea, logical idea, watching her daughter move. And so sure enough, she went home, put her in dance classes, and she loved it. She enjoyed it. She thrived. And so she learned tap dancing, jazz dancing, ballet dancing, whatever kind of other dancing little girls learn and is part of the dancing world. But she loved it. She thrived. She enjoyed it. She did so well at it. She continued to dance. As an adult, she opened up a dance studio, began to teach others to dance and the art of dancing. And then somebody, again, saw something special in her life. This little-known composer, who had written a couple of musicals, invited her to come and do the choreography for a couple of his musicals, and her name is given, she is given credit for doing the choreography for Andrew Lloyd Webber's Phantom of the Opera. You just have to think that you know, maybe a decade ago, I mean, I know it's not so much popular right now, and we're finally kind of moving away from this mentality, but maybe even a decade ago, a doctor would have seen her and diagnosed her with something and given her some medicine to calm her down and medicate her and cause her to be quiet and to sit still. But this doctor, he saw something special in her. And he called it out of her and encouraged mom to lead her and invest in her life. And then later on, somebody again saw something special in her and gave her an opportunity. Her gifts and talents blessed the world in this arena. And today, that's the message I want you to hear. That I believe that God created us and knows us. When he sees you, he also sees something special in you and knows that he has plans to do something great through you. And we're even going to see that in the book of Judges, in the story that we are going to take a look at today. Believe it or not. Here's why that may be hard to believe as we kind of get into it. If you want to follow along, we're going to be in the fourth chapter of the book of Judges today. So if you want to open your Bibles or get your Bible app open and swipe your way over to Judges chapter 4. Here's why that might be a bit surprising. Last week we just dove into this book that we're going to walk through, this book of the Bible that doesn't get read very often in church. You may see why today when we read one of these stories. Because, you know, last week we dove right in, and five verses into the story, we read this incredibly brutal, violent account of something that, you know, God's people did as a part of war. And we ask the question, like, does God condone violence? Because, as we're going to even see today, we have to ask the question early on in our walking through of these stories, because it's just going to keep coming up. And if we really, you know, it's easy to get tripped up over all the violence and the war and the killing and destruction in the book of Judges. And so that we can really hear the other messages there, we just took one Sunday to say, you know what, let's wrestle through this. And here's some, you know, I probably didn't solve the problem for you, but at least kind of gave you some additional material to help you think through and to consider and to reflect on these very difficult stories. One of the things we discovered, we said last week, is that there are all these wars and all this fighting here, but we need to understand that there is a difference between personal revenge and fighting to defend others and to defend your people and to defend your people from oppressors. And so while Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek, not engage in revenge against those who have hurt us, what we see here is war after war, not of men taking revenge because they're angry, even sure they probably were angry at the oppression that they had faced, but their intention and their goal was to defend their people, to defend their families, to defend their nation from the violent oppression of the people around them. And last week we looked at just how dark and evil the oppression was. Quite often, the next thing we discovered was these wars, and war is always violent and brutal, these wars often stopped the oppressors from further oppression. We looked at the story, the story 5 verses in is the story of this king, this enemy king, who had a reputation for when he attacked an enemy, that he would go in and he would attack the city and he would capture their king, and rather than put their king to death, he would cut off the thumbs and big toes of the enemy king that he had conquered and make him grovel and beg at his table in the new king's palace. And he had done this 70 times to 70 other kings. And so when he gets the same thing happens back to him, while it is pretty violent and crazy and hard to understand that story's in the Bible, what we see is there's this stopping of him from doing it to the 71st, 2nd, 73rd king. Most of the time, we see justice as restorative, but in this case, stopping this guy from further violence and oppression was stopping him. The next thing we said, today's just like the 2-minute recap of that. If you want to get the whole thing, go to our YouTube channel, check it out, listen to it, read it. Not read it. Listen to it, watch it, go to the website, you'll find it there. But just kind of reviewing a little bit, because these issues are going to come up again today. Here's one that we can remember for today's story. That just because God raises up a leader doesn't mean he condones all of the decisions the leader makes. That quite often God raises up these military leaders to fight wars and fight campaigns and to defend their people. And in the heat of battle, sometimes they do some ungodly things in the heat of battle, which they can't just kind of excuse and just say, well, God ordained it and God said I should go fight the battle so I get to do whatever I want. No. And we need to remember this. As pastors, as church leaders, we need to remember this. That just because you're called by God doesn't give you the permission to do whatever you want in the name of God. That even our calling by God is restricted to the character of God, and we always act as God would have us to act. We stay in line with who God is. And so we see sometimes some of these godly men and women who have been raised up and authorized by God, we see them doing some ungodly things, and it doesn't make their ungodly things okay just because they were raised up by God. And when you kind of can understand that, that helps to kind of wrap our heads around it, that God does not ordain, does not approve of every action described in the Bible just because it's in the Bible. So, having said that, with a little bit of understanding that'll help us not to kind of trip over these same issues, last week we saw the story of King Eglon and his violence and 20 years of oppression. And then God raised up Ehud, the warrior, and, in this crazy commando ninja story in Judges, whatever that was, chapter 2 or 3, he defeats the king and then defeats the army, and then they enjoy 80 years of peace. That's happening down in the south. Meanwhile, here's what's happening up in the north. Judges chapter 4 is our story that we're going to look at today. I'm going to start reading just right from the start of the chapter, verse 1 there. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord now that Ehud was dead. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Sisera, the commander of his army, was based in Harosheth Hagoyim. And because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried out to the Lord for help. So here we see again this pattern